I'm Garrett McQueen, here with Professor Anna Sternschuss from the University of Toronto, who just gave a lecture at the University of Tennessee's McClung Museum Auditorium on recently discovered Yiddish songs from World War II. Professor Sternschuss, thank you so much for taking time out in your schedule to come speak with me.
Thank you for inviting me.
So, when I was contacted by Huffington Post writer Daniel Rosenberg about the project, I was instantly intrigued. Would you mind telling our listeners a little about you and how you got into this line of study and research and how you ended up talking on it here at the University of Tennessee?
Right. So a few years ago, I was working on a book on Soviet Jewish life under Joseph Stalin. And I went to Ukraine to look for documents about that time. And by accident, I came across a large chunk of materials, handwritten Yiddish materials, that had songs recorded during the war, during 1941 and 45 to 45 in the Soviet Union. And this was Yiddish texts that documented every experience that Soviet Jews went through during the war. About 2.7 million Jews out of 6 million who were killed during the Holocaust were killed in the Soviet Union. And those songs were written by both victims and survivors. Some of the songs were written by the Red Army soldiers who served in the Red Army. So anyway, so that was the material that was a bombshell for the Holocaust studies. So I worked with the musician Psoy Korolenko in bringing these materials back to life as music, not just as archival documents. It was very important for both of us so that these songs find their audience, because collectors who collected these materials were persecuted by Joseph Stalin after the war, and this archive was hidden and nobody knew it survived Stalin. And once I finished this project, working with Psoy and working with a band of musicians, I was invited to give a talk here at the Steinfeld Program in Judaic Studies at the University of Tennessee, and specifically with the help of Dr. Alan Solomon and Andrea Cartwright Fellowship, and I'm very grateful to be able to speak here.
Yeah, we're all very grateful to have you here.
Thank you.
So talk to me a little bit about the setting of this music as it was being created and composed. I understand that there were Soviet musicologists who, you know, understood the music written by Jews during the Holocaust, that this music might be destroyed and lost forever. So can you tell me a little bit more about what you think their motivations may have been towards saving this music?
Right. One of the most important people in this story is Moisey Berigovsky, a Soviet ethnomusicologist who devoted his life to collecting and recording and preserving Jewish music. When the war began, he and his colleagues understood that they lived through the historical times, the most difficult times, perhaps, in Jewish history. And he saw that it was his mission to document whatever was left of Yiddish culture. Mm-hmm. And during the war, he made sure that he recorded whatever people would sing for him, wherever they were. And Jewish people were everywhere in the Soviet Union. Some of them were in Ukraine, and they were being killed there very, very quickly. And what we learned from this material is that sometimes the last thing they did before being murdered is they composed a song about what they witnessed, where they detailed those atrocities. And the last thing they did, they made sure that that song somehow got into mail.
I see.
And that's how Berigovsky collected so much of this material. So in other words, it's important for us to understand that people who were being murdered, they thought about others who should know what happened to them. And they saw that, thought the music would be the perfect way to tell that story. And some other people just wrote songs about serving in the Red Army, about military songs. About 1.4 million of Soviet Jews survived the war in Soviet Central Asia. There were a lot of Polish Jewish refugees there as well, about 250,000. And those people were Yiddish speakers and were making sense. Some of them were Yiddish speakers. Mm-hmm. They were making sense of what was going on with them also by writing Yiddish music. So Berigovsky understood that this was the time that will become really important in Jewish history and in human history, and he did what he could to preserve that culture.
Oh, that's beautiful that he sought out to do that. Do you speak Yiddish?
Yes, I do.
What is the relationship between Yiddish and this music specifically? Do you think that it can really only exist in this language, or are translations of it possible? What's your opinion on that?
So thank you for that question, actually, because I thought a lot about this. Yiddish language is a vernacular of Jewish people. It has been a Jewish spoken language for over 1,000 years. And it's not the language of Jewish holy scriptures, and it's not the language of Jewish prayer, mm-hmm. but it's a language of everyday life. And the majority of Ashkenazi Jews spoke Yiddish before the Holocaust. And after the Holocaust, the minority of Jews spoke Yiddish only. So having said that, in the Soviet Union, there were a lot of Jews who did not speak Yiddish on a daily basis during the war. A lot of them already switched to Russian as their mother tongue. Mm-hmm. And so when we found those songs in Yiddish, it was one of the most surprising things about this archive, because what we know about World War II is that during the war, Jews, Soviet Jews, switched from Yiddish to Russian. And we thought that world war culture only exists in Russian language, even if it's a Jewish culture.
Right.
But this archive showed otherwise. It showed that there was Yiddish language, popular culture that existed during the war. And you're asking about translation. It's been such a challenge for us to bring this project to United States and to Canada, because we have to translate everything that right. we do. So we now have beautiful translations into English of this material done by Tova Benjamin, an undergraduate student at the University of Toronto, who managed to get across the things that are said in Yiddish and are not translatable. And Psoy Korolenko, the artist who's a singer and the collaborator on this project, translated this into poetic, singable translation into Russian. So that way, we're able to bring this material to three different audiences, English, Yiddish, and Russian. But I have to tell you, each translation is a whole different cultural world.
I see.
And there is a song that we have, for example, set to Glinka's tune about Yoshka from Odessa, a brave soldier who goes and kills all the Germans. So there are words there which says that he will... that you Germans think that you're such impressive butchers, but we will slice you up like you slice other people.
Wow, those are strong words.
Yeah, but you know, in Yiddish, they say you think you're a kailer. Kailer is a butcher who slices non-kosher animals. You know, in Jewish tradition, Jews only eat kosher meat, mm-hmm. and there is a special butcher who cuts animals for kosher consumption. But Jews are also allowed to use parts of non-kosher animals. So, for example, you can use pig skin for belts or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So butchers who kill pigs are called kailer. And the skins that they cut is called nevela. So in Yiddish, she says, you think you're a kailer, but well, slice you like you slice those pigs. How do you translate that into English?
Oh, my goodness.
Or in Russian, you know? So the lyrics are very gruesome, but there is something about the language there. It's also a combination of Russian and Yiddish in mm-hmm. the songs that was understood by a Yiddish speaker, a Yiddish speaker of 1943, but a Yiddish speaker of 2017 has a lot more problems with that Yiddish.
Right. Well, yeah, that really adds layers to the meaning
sure.
of all this.
For
wow,
sure.
That's so fascinating. So, and you mentioned the composer Glinka.
Yes.
So what would you say is or maybe isn't the connection between the composers of the music you've recently discovered to composers like Glinka or even Mendelssohn or Mahler, these composers who were Jewish that we happen to know about?
Right. So the Psoy Korolenko did all the work on matching the words to music. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it was a relatively easy thing to do because the analysis of words suggested that the song was a clear parody to something. Sometimes Berezovsky left notes saying, the song is sang to a famous Soviet tune. We didn't say which one, mm-hmm. so at least we knew something to work with. Now, with some songs, Psoy decided to use this anachronistic approach. And just think about what would a person during this time listen to? And how would they think about Seti singing these words to that music? That's how Glinka came along. Glinka is a 19th century Russian composer who is not Jewish. He is understood as the founder of Russian classical school of music. Mm-hmm. And his work is based a lot on folk music. He even worked a little bit of Jewish music. He set Byron's Hebrew tunes to music as one of his projects. But his song, Skylark, written in 1840, was very popular in the Soviet Union in 1940. In fact, the majority of people listened to that music, did not even know it was Glinka necessarily, but they believed this was a folk song. So thinking about who would sing that song, how it was sang in tenor, Psoy thought that, you know, that will work really well for our brave Yoshka from Odessa. And the words matched perfectly to the tune, and that's how this idea was born, and that's how the song was born.
Wow, that's incredible. And I thought we might listen to this piece of music now. This is newly discovered music set to a tune by composer Mikhail Glinka, performed by violinist and vocalist Sergei Erdinko with the Yiddish Glory Band.
Тикер мельхома белых лир зинки, а змизол диганце велтмит, велмеди лидер клинги, вис из форге кумендорт, мит яшке демодесер, а съехот кишлогн ази. Sich mit den Fein auf Messer, als ihr Hot geschlagen als sich. Sich mit den Fein auf Messer, als ihr Hot der Sein für sich, die mörderische Zures. Hot ihr Bach geschwollen sei kurz, kurz machen ein die Schures. Hey, dein Schukes! Vor ihr halt sich vor ein Wagner Leile, was es wird mein Fun anschneiden, wer von einer Weile, was es wird mein Fun anschneiden, wer von einer Weile. Se welt mit, wel mit die Lieder klingen. Bis ist vorgekommen dort, mit Joschke dem Odesser. Als ihr Hot geschlagen als sich, sich mit den Fein auf Messer. Als ihr Hot geschlagen als sich, sich mit den Fein auf Messer.
Wow, what an incredible discovery. That was newly discovered music set to a tune by Mikhail Glinka and performed by violinist and vocalist Sergei Erdinko with the Yiddish Glory Band. Well, Anna, thank you so much for coming in to speak with me, and thank you so much for the work you're doing. It's so incredible and so important.
Thank you, Garrett. Thanks for having me over.
More information on Professor Anna Sternschiss and the work she's doing can be found at utoronto.ca.